how we come into this time we have together to talk about gratitude, the way you come into it really matters. And I've listened to enough talks like this to know that I don't really get much if that's my inward stance. Now, I don't mean you can't, after we finish this little fun exercise, cross your arms again. But what I'm going to suggest to you is that for the next half hour, 45 minutes, that you consider an attitude that does this, which just drops all the stuff that is weighing on you. Just let it go. You don't have to let it go forever. You can start worrying about it again in 46 minutes. But just for now. And then that you consider listening like this. Really, that's something for the past 2 years I've been experimenting with. Okay, what would it look like right now to be arms wide open? What does it look like to live arms wide open? Well, it's a little vulnerable. It's a receptive pose, right? It's actually a little expectant. I'm expecting that I might get something. There might be something that I can embrace. But I'm not protected, am I, when I'm like this? I'm completely vulnerable and open and childlike. So I'm going to ask you, and you're excused if you have a baby in your hand, but if you don't, I'm going to ask you to stand up just for a minute. And I'm going to ask you, and don't whap somebody in the face, just to close your eyes so you don't feel as silly. Close your eyes and arms wide open and really stretch your arms open wide. It's not going to rain forever. You are someday going to get a good night's sleep. And the hard things of today shall pass. But Lord, as we're in this posture, we thank you for every good gift you're going to give us today. Amen. And you may be seated. So I'm going to start at kind of an odd place here. I want to start being very clear about what gratitude isn't. Gratitude isn't for people who have sunny temperaments. If you're one of those people who think, look, I see life realistically. If I'm anything, I'm a realist. So I'm not going to get into this Pollyanna gratitude stuff. That doesn't get you off the hook. It's not about temperament. It's not about feeling warm and fuzzy. It's not about feeling like being grateful. In fact, it's not really about feelings. Gratitude is a choice. So if you happen to be a little bit glass half empty, I'm not saying that making a gratitude list like we're going to talk about might not be a little harder for you than the glass half full person. You might have a little harder car to drive. But my conviction is that your gratitude list of three things might honor God more than the glass half full person's gratitude list of 53 things. I have a friend who's a little bit glass half empty, and I said to her a couple of days ago, I'm going to buy a new gratitude journal. Do you want me to get you one? And she said, yeah, a little really thin one. So it's not about temperament. It's not about denial. It's not about saying that there aren't wars and that there isn't a refugee crisis and that there isn't an election going on and that people aren't hungry and children aren't dying. Sometimes, and it doesn't make sense, but sometimes I do have this sense of how can I, sitting in McLean, Virginia, be grateful for all that I have when, gosh, everyone doesn't have this. Well, when you think about that logically, what you're saying is, I have to add a little more misery to the world, right? So it doesn't make sense, and it's not about denial. And my very favorite book about gratitude, which many of you I'm sure have read, is Ann Voskamp's 1,000 Gifts. And a lot of people never get past the first chapter because the first chapter is about her baby sister when she was, she herself was very little, her baby sister was killed on their family farm, buried in their little family graveyard. So she came to the practice of gratitude, and you're going to hear probably the word practice a lot, because that's how you learn to be grateful. Anne Voskamp came to the practice of gratitude from a place of really being pretty frozen toward God. You're the God that killed my little sister, or allowed her to die. And so I'm going to church, and I'm calling myself a Christian, but I'm staying arm's length here because I'm not really, how can I trust you? And so her challenge was, from a friend, see how many things you can list to be grateful for. And it's a particularly wonderful read for your stage because she talks about things like stacked up dishes, but well, look at the soap bubble. So she's talking about really just sort of appreciating, and that's what gratitude, that's when it really kicks in, is when it's in the mundane of the day-to-day. I just wrote a book about grief. My big focus is grief, and my big focus is gratitude, and those two things go together. One, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. Gratitude makes us joyful. That is not that's not something that Christian speakers say only because they wish it were true and it sounds so good. These days, we have to have studies, don't we? To back up God's word, which has been telling us this for a couple of thousand years. In every circumstance, give thanks. Give thanks with all your heart. He tells us this stuff because it's good for us. Right? It's not like, you know how Mother's Day, well, you'll, if you don't, you will learn how Mother's Days are, where it's like, okay, thank me. Because for 364, I haven't been able to eat dairy. I haven't been able to sleep. Okay, this is my day. Give me thanks. That's not God's MO. That's not why he's saying to give him thanks in every circumstance. He's saying it because it changes us. Because it makes us joyful people. And he loves that, just like we love it when our kids are healthy. So it's not Pollyanna, pie in the sky. You see it all throughout Psalms. One of my favorite Psalms says, I'm afflicted and needy, and my heart is wounded. So just heartfelt pain. And I give you thanks with all my heart. And so many Psalms start with that, with the thanksgiving, and you think, oh boy, it must be a blue sky day and everything's going right for him. No, he's locked in a cave with enemy armies all around. So gratitude is not denial. Feelings are the caboose. One of my favorite little stories is a friend of mine, she and her husband were doing a little work on their marriage, and they had committed to each other to be grateful. One of the things she had made clear was, she's home with three kids, he's working like a dog. One of the things that she had mentioned to him that bothers her is leaving his coffee cups all around the house for her to clean up. You know how it's the little things that bother you, right? They make you want to kill people. So she got up one morning at 6 o'clock. She's got a sore throat. She's feeling like something the cat dragged in. And there in the sink is his coffee mug. Now, it's not in the living room, it's in the sink, but it's not washed. It's there for her to wash because she does everything. You know the feeling? Okay, so that's not warm and fuzzy, right? That's not, ooh, I feel so good. I think I'll be grateful. That's, no, I have my teeth gritted, but I promised. I'm going to make the choice. This is will, and I don't mean willpower like this is all hard and miserable, but the Christian life's all about will. Thy will be done. That's saying not mine, right? So they did their morning check-in by phone, and she, through almost gritted teeth, thanked him for putting the coffee mug in the sink. Now, this is what's so interesting. His response was, I felt so guilty. leaving that stack of dishes there for you. I am so sorry. I can't tell you. I'm just over my head. I'll make it up to you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate all that you're doing to get me through this couple of weeks. Amazing. Anne Voskamp says that gratitude always precedes the miracle. Making the choice to practice gratitude is like hitting the reset button. I was trying to think, what has reset buttons? The garbage disposal, which I think is actually a very good analogy. The furnace, before you pay hundreds of dollars, you can try the reset button. Okay, you can, gratitude is a reset button. And you can restart your day anytime you want. Did you know that? I just learned that a couple of years ago. That's a big one. You can restart your day at 7:30 at night. You can just push that reset button. One of my tales, and I think this, it's interesting, I ran across this as I was preparing. So I'd tucked it away in a computer file. But I remember this choice as if it were yesterday. And it was, I figure, probably 15, 17 years ago. I had had a horrendous day with the kids. They were teenagers. I was driving to, it was late afternoon, I was driving to BWI. It was blasting summer heat, and we were in standstill traffic at just about the time, still many miles from BWI, still in the Beltway, and his flight was about to take off. And he and I are stuck in the car together. And I remember thinking, okay, I could hit that reset button. I could give thanks, but I really don't feel like it. I really feel like self-pity would be so much more fun. But I hit it. And just there, gripping that steering wheel with my little white knuckles, I said thank you for the traffic, for the confusion with the kids, for all the mess I had left behind. And within a very short time period, it changed the whole thing. And my fingers relaxed on the steering wheel. I was able to sort of accept what was, which was he was probably going to miss his flight. We were stuck in traffic, so we might as well enjoy each other. And we actually did. And his flight was delayed. And he didn't even miss it. So, but I thought it was interesting that I remember, I can't tell you how many things I forget, that I remember that choice. Because it was so dramatic. Gratitude always precedes the miracle. C.S. Lewis says that every time you make a choice, you're turning that central part of you into something different than it was before. Every time you make a choice, you're turning it into a more heavenly creature or a more hellish creature. Who would you rather have as a mom? Your verse for this year, this is your last meeting, I understand, and the last part of your verse was overflowing with gratitude. Now, you may have moments where you are naturally overflowing with gratitude. It probably is on vacation with a glass of white wine in your hand. Overflowing with gratitude doesn't just happen. One of my favorite researchers, Brené Brown, has done a lot of work in this field. And after, I think, 11,000 interviews with people, what she found was that people who describe themselves as joyful people, every single one of them had not just sort of some vague attitude of gratitude, but they had actual tangible gratitude practices. And they connected their joy with their intentional gratitude. So I will be overflowing with gratitude tonight if I make choices all day long to be grateful. Gratitude changes you. It doesn't change your circumstances. That's a big one. And again, the science behind this is really fun. Study after study after study show benefits to our health, our mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health, all are hugely benefited by gratitude. For one thing, it cuts off our scarcity mentality. To put feet on that, that means I don't have enough time in the day. I don't have enough excitement in my life. I don't have enough sleep. I don't have enough sex, or depending on your preferences, I have too much. I have to behave because we're being taped. So gratitude says, what I get today, my daily bread, I'm going to say thank you for. It'll be enough. You might not have enough time to do all the stuff you wanted to do, but that's okay. It's enough. So just that idea that, what, it's enough, sounds almost un-American. It makes people, the practice of gratitude makes people less depressed. It reduces our stress levels. It boosts our immune systems. You literally go to the doctor less. It makes you more joyful, more compassionate, more generous. Things like bitterness and anger and resentment can't really live in the same place with gratitude, which is a lot of times why I don't want to make the choice, because it means you have to give up all the resentment. And what I saw is I sat down this morning and thought, okay, Lord, I want to sort of clear my mind of all the many things I want to talk with these ladies about, and just give me an overview. And it came to me that gratitude involves connection. And connection is life-giving. So it's when I'm thanking God, it's connecting me with Him. When I'm thanking you, it's connecting me with you. And that is part of the joy, I think. Gratitude also involves vulnerability. I can't tell you how many times when someone tells me a tale of having thanked someone, either by letter or whatever, it's prefaced by, I felt really silly, but. Because it puts us out there, right? It's an arms wide open thing. You don't know how the other person's going to react. They might say, yeah, it's kind of silly and yeah. So it's vulnerable. So it takes courage. It takes courage. It takes courage to hit the reset button. It takes courage to be vulnerable. On the point of how it changes us, it literally changes the wiring. They say that neurons that fire together wire together. So when we create habits, it literally changes our neurological wiring. Your brain, when you get back in your car, is literally going to be a different brain than the one you had when you got out of the car. So this is all very hopeful stuff. It doesn't matter where you are right now on the spectrum of gratitude. Gratitude is all about being wide awake. It's about welcoming. It's about welcoming what is. And as you notice yourself, just notice how often you don't. Or I should say, I don't. I notice how often I don't. Yesterday, I was looking forward to babysitting for one of my grandchildren, and I got a text in the morning from my son saying his wife was sick, and so he was going to stay home. I didn't need to babysit. I went right into this spiral. That was the highlight of my day. And then I realized, what is there in that to be thankful for? Wow, what a great guy. He's staying home from work. Maybe God wants me to stay and prepare for being with you, which is what I did. Spiral back up again. So it's noticing. I love photography, and one of the things I love to do is just when I'm out in the country is just go out with no purpose but to find beauty. Well, that's sort of what gratitude is, isn't it? It's looking. It's being wide awake and looking. And one day recently, I was up in Maine, and I thought, oh, rats, it's a rainy day again, and I can't take pictures. It wasn't really raining. It was sort of like this. I can't take pictures. And I thought, or maybe you can. Well, I went out, and what I did was I spent an hour taking pictures of things, because they're behind us, just sprouting. And I downloaded them onto my computer, and I marveled. So gratitude is an opportunity to go through life like you're behind the lens of a camera. I read something that by Helen Keller, whom you all know is blind and deaf and dumb. And she said, recently a friend took a long walk in the woods, and when she came back, Helen Keller, said, "What did you notice?" And her friend said, "Nothing in particular." And Helen Keller said, "How is that possible?" You see, she can't see. How is that possible, that nothing in particular? What if you go through today? Nothing in particular. Nothing particularly good happened. They say that the vulture and the hummingbird fly over the same field, and the vulture sees roadkill. What does the hummingbird see? Flowers, color, life, right? It's choosing life. In the Old Testament, Moses said to them, "I set before you life and death. Choose life." And that's kind of, that sounds dramatic, but that's what I want to say to you and to me today. Let's choose life. Okay, so I set my alarm so that I would stop. Oh, good. Okay, we're good. I want to talk about some, and I'm actually going to just be forewarned, that I'm going to ask you to have your pen and paper ready, because I am going to ask you to do a few things. And I told my husband, he said, "Oh, I hate that when speakers do that, because the next thing is turn to the people next to you." So I'm not going to make you turn to anybody. But in a few minutes, I am going to ask you to do a few things, because what you want to do with gratitude, the worst thing you can do is hear a good talk on gratitude and go on like you hadn't heard it. So I want you to make yourselves be a Nike commercial. Just do it. Just do it. Don't spend a whole lot of time analyzing whether it's worth it, whether it's your thing. I'm going to force you to do it for a little bit, but after that, you're on your own. Okay, so the intentional practice is every day one sincere thank you. Now, hopefully there are a lot of vertical thank yous going on, but every day, just looking for an opportunity to give one sincere thank you. It could be something as quick as something you say to the grocery checker. It could be sitting down and actually writing a letter. Could be shooting off a text. Just a couple of examples. I was at Washington Radiology recently, fun place that it is, and everybody from the first to the last person was so kind and so good at their job. So as I was leaving, I said, "Is there a supervisor here?" Well, everyone tensed. So that's interesting, too, when you do decide to say thank you. People don't expect thank you. They expect whap, whap, whap. My favorite experience of intentional gratitude, this has been probably 10 years ago now. I was teaching this, and I was back at my desk. I'm a lot less driven now, I'm happy to report, but boy, was I driven then. And so I looking up from my desk was like a huge deal. So I was working, and I had this, because I asked God for reminders, enjoying my talk. I asked God for reminders, and so I was reminded of this name, Sarah Ann. Well, I hadn't thought of Sarah Ann forever. She was a woman, I hadn't seen her since I was about 8. She used to take us. I lived on the Eastern Shore in the middle of nowhere, and Sarah Ann was our lifeline to the skating rink in Chincoteague. And she would load us in the car and drive us for an hour to the skating rink. My parents would have rather jump off a cliff than spend Sunday afternoon there. So she did these kind things for me. And I sat there at my desk, and again, I remember this choice point. I remember just where I was sitting, thinking, "Oh, I've got so much to do." Yeah, but this is really hypocritical because of the talk you just gave. All right. And then my next line of defense was, "I don't know how to reach her. I don't know where she is." Well, the town is about this big, so maybe you could try the one retirement home. So I did, and I asked for her, and they said, "Yes, let me put you through." And she answered, okay, it makes me tear up. And I was then Betsy Bird, Not just Betsy Bird. I should tell you the whole ugly truth. I was Betsy Barry Bird. So I said, Sarah Ann, this is Betsy Bird. I don't know if you remember me. And her response was, oh, darling, of course I remember you. And that began, I started visiting her. She died 3 years later. We had 3 years of visits, 3 years of stories about my parents, stories about my past that I never would have heard. Just joy of being with her. And I was with her just before she died, and I was holding her hand, and I couldn't hold, I was like this, really trying not to cry. And she looked at me, and again, darling, she said, it's all right, darling, you go ahead and cry. And that was her last words. But you know what? What if I'd pushed through? What the heck was the work I was doing? Who cares by comparison? And I'm not being Pollyanna. Obviously, we've got to do our work, but we don't only have to do our work. Okay, this is another favorite. There's a good friend of mine, and she was having tax issues, so she called the IRS. She got bumped from one agent to another, to another, to another, and finally, all of whom were singularly unhelpful, and finally she got to one who actually was really helpful. So she wrote to the guy's supervisor, and the supervisor wrote about him. And the supervisor wrote back and said, we have framed your letter. So my friend in her email to me said, apparently the IRS doesn't get a whole lot of thank you notes. I have another friend. I love to write cards, but you never know. It's a lot of times like dropping them off a cliff. You don't know if people appreciate or not. And I was with a friend. I wrote to her, and then it was over a year later we were together because she doesn't live here. And she took me aside, and she said, I just want you to know I keep that note that you wrote on my desk by my computer. I see it all the time. And that, I also want to point out to you, but also to me, time is, you've got your hands full. I've got my hands full. None of this stuff takes much time. In fact, you get back more time because you get more energetic. Another tale, if we have a minute. again, these are friend stories. These aren't internet stories. Buddy of mine, who is a writer, read something online, and she really thought, whoa, this is fabulous. And so she called me and she said, okay, I did what you've been talking about, and I felt really silly doing it. She wrote to this woman, and she said, I read your article, and it is fantastic. And she sort of praised the woman's writing and the impact of the writing on her own life. And on that blog came this response. The woman says, I don't think the woman knew who it came from, but the writer says, last week I received a handwritten letter from a reader. She thanked and praised me for it, offering me and my writing such wonderful encouragement that I nearly cried. Now, I'm not telling you this so you can be wowed that I'm the sort of writer who receives fan mail, because this never, ever happens, but because it was truly one of the nicest, most meaningful surprises I have ever received. I've never had the opportunity to hear a total stranger say to me, your writing matters. Wow, I'm still reeling. And my friend prefaced that to me by saying, "This, I felt really silly doing this." So you see the connection with vulnerability. And then lastly, appreciations. My husband and I did some marriage counseling recently, which is fun because now we have a really good marriage. And we thought, we can go from good to great, maybe. And so we did some marriage counseling. And this woman who was brilliant taught us about appreciations. And she was saying, if you'll just do appreciations once a day, just once a day, here's what you did, here's how it made me feel, and here's what it meant to me. We had a moment last night where Ray came in from work and gave me a hug and said, good, Bets. Bets is my grandmother now. You know how grandparents end up calling each other the grandparent name. And I very tellingly said, wow, what did I do to deserve that? Does that tell you anything about me? Gotta earn it, right? And he said, you don't have to earn it, it just is. Okay, that's an appreciation. But I have to be intentional. He doesn't know that. You do. But I'm going to tell him that. And so we preface these things by saying, I have an appreciation. So it's the opposite of we have to talk. Which sends one or both running for their respective cars. Okay, so what I'd like you to do is think of someone. Close your eyes just a second. Think of somebody who has really influenced your life. Somebody important. Somebody you would really love to say thank you to. And now I'd like you to pick up your paper and spend just 2 minutes writing down what you would say to that person if you could say something. Don't get all stuck on how you would say it. This is just for you. What you would say. Someone who has been influential, who's been kind, who's stuck with you through thick and thin, whatever. I'm going to interrupt you now and in the hope that if you haven't finished, that you will finish on your own time. Thank you for doing that. But it's not, I have a big request. I'm a personal coach, and in personal coaching we say there are some stretch goals. So this is a stretch goal. Will you share it with the person somehow? The absolute best is eyeball to eyeball. But if you can't do that in phone call or a handwritten note, email even, and you can say, I made you do it. Because it's vulnerable. It's really vulnerable. There's a fun, if you want a little motivation, Victoria's going to put something, get something to you by email that we wanted to show you this morning, but there wasn't time, which is about doing this exercise and about sharing it. And it's a YouTube of people who, in the process of sharing it. So you will be motivated then if you aren't now. So that's one very tangible gratitude practice. And you see the whole spectrum from takes no time at all to might take a little time and be a little more vulnerable. One sincere thank you a day. Another is keeping a gratitude list. And I'm usually you use the word gratitude journal, but you may be one of those people who the word journal makes you break out in hives. This can be a list on your iPhone. This doesn't have to be a big deal. But there is something about actually writing the things down. It goes from one to the other. I don't know what it is about the act of writing it down and getting it in black and white. It just matters. And again, the studies show, one of the fun studies is they had one group that they requested write 5 things you're thankful for. And the other group, they said, write 5 hassles from your day. And then they tested these people after how many weeks of this kind of thing. And as you might suspect, the hassle group, okay, this is telling me to be quiet, but I'm going to disobey. The hassle group turned out to be less joyful. Their sleep was more interrupted, on and on and on and on. The science behind this is huge. And this woman, I found this in Priscilla Maurice, who wrote, I don't know, 150 years ago. And she says, begin by writing down thank yous, thank God for little things, and they'll grow. And then she said, if you can't begin with anything positive, begin with something negative. If your whole lot seems only filled with causes for discontent, at any rate, there's some trial that hasn't yet been appointed you. And you may thank God for its being withheld from you. So you can start by saying you don't have prostate cancer or whatever. Another very practical, tangible practice that has been revolutionary to me is at night before, and this means I don't read because I have a very short window before I fall asleep. So at night, my question is, what are you most thankful for? Well, that means you have to look at all the contestants, right, before you decide who wins. So what you're doing is you're doing a flyover of your day. And I ask God, I say, Lord, you show me your view of this day. And I look through all the things I can think of to be thankful for. And I think, oh, but it was that. That's the winner. So I pass that on to you. Taking gratitude breaks is another very tangible gratitude practice. I have a friend who, when she was at your stage, but once the kids got old enough so it wasn't life-threatening for her to leave for five minutes, she would walk out in the backyard and just be in a peaceful spot for 5 minutes. And she said she'd walk back in ready to be a mom again. So it can be standing up and just stretching. It can be putting down whatever you're doing or nursing a baby, whatever, and just timing it. I mean, set a kitchen timer if you want. 2 minutes. You won't believe what you can have, how 2 minutes can change your whole attitude. Bookend your day. Start and end before you, I try before I, my feet hit the floor, just to say a few things I'm grateful for. Set an alarm. I have an alarm set on my phone. It went off in the middle of a dinner party once, and Ray said, "What's that?" Because he's used to all my strange quirks. I think I had the courage to, I actually said what it was. It's my gratitude alarm, so. Another practical, tangible gratitude habit is to look at, just choose one thing. Just maybe focus on it for a week and be thankful for it. It could be you. What about being thankful for you? The authors of Intimate Issues talk about getting in your birthday suit with the bathroom door locked and thanking God for everything you see in the mirror. Do you know what authors I have read, whom I admire and trust, say that as women, our number one sin is self-contempt. Self-contempt. We say stuff to ourselves that we wouldn't say to our dog. You idiot. You jerk. I can't believe you did that again. We wouldn't say that to a friend. So what would it be like to give thanks for you? Give thanks for something you did really well today. Another is to give thanks for other women. If you struggle at all with envy, and I don't have time, but I have to tell you this tale because it's such fun. So I had committed for whatever period of time to give thanks for other women. I was invited to this small gathering in honor of a woman I didn't know who was starting a new nonprofit that was going to change the world. So here I am. People say, what do you do? I never have an answer. I stutter until they find somebody else who can answer the question. So here I am, and I don't really want to go, but I walk in, I say, okay, I'm going to be thankful tonight. I'm going to be grateful. The woman was late. There were about 15 of us. She walked in. I mean, I could have taken it if she were sort of looking haggard and, you know, sort of pudgy and overtired from all her saving of the world. But no. No, no. No, no. She was perky. She was happily married. She had beautiful children. She travels all around the world. And this nonprofit is setting the world on fire. And she was well-spoken. She was speaking fluently to us in what was not her native language. And boy, were you, we talked at the beginning about what your interior body posture. Boy, my arms were closed and locked. It's like, you can stop now because I already hate you. And I wouldn't give any money to a nonprofit started by someone I hate. And then I remembered, you see, I hit that reset button and she spoke for another 15 minutes or whatever it was. I kid you not, by the end, I was loving her beauty. I was happy about what she was doing. I was hoping her kids get into Harvard. You know, it's amazing, but it's amazing how comfortable that spot of, no, I'd rather hate her, is. So, all right, I am going to force myself to stop here. Okay. One of the things at your table that they're going to ask, one of the things they're going to ask you to do is think of someone you can share something you learned with. And I just want to underscore that because it really helps, and again, scientifically, I mean, you know, this stuff all has to be proven. If you want to retain something, teach somebody. Just something. Okay. So could we have a little few minutes of Q&A now? So I just want, please, if anything I've said, any questions you have, but also if anything I've said leaves you with a furrowed brow, please speak up and get clarification.
Anyone have a question?
Or tail, a wonderful gratitude tail.
This may not be what you're really looking for, but I'd be interested in what moved you from what you were doing to what you're doing now.
Huh. What moved me from what I was doing? Well, the short answer to that is God. I mean, I actually was thinking this morning, how do I get to do this instead of getting in a car and going to a real job? And I think that as I have awakened, and I think my awakening period was in grief, was in this when grief sort of flattened my life and everything that I knew how to do competently, I think I came out of it a less driven person. And so the gift to me in being able to do things with you like this, to lead retreats, is just that I get to really be myself. And I feel like it's just a huge gift from God, just to be able to say, well, it's not anything to put on a resume particularly, but I'm just so grateful to, that he gave me something that I love. So.
So how do you suggest starting the appreciations with your husband without making it sound like, I want praise for everything I do? You know? Yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly. Well, maybe you don't call it anything, right? Maybe you don't call it anything. Maybe you just say, I have something I really want to say to you. That's a fun way to start, because then they're really so happy that it's not their latest failure. So maybe just don't be self, you know, make it a thing that would make him self-conscious. But to part of the vulnerability is to push through and not just say, when you said that, it was, thank you for saying that. But to push through, which is hard, to say, here's how it made me feel and here's what it meant to me. Yeah, thanks. Good question.
I think I know the number one way to get our children to be gratitude is to model it, obviously.
Yes.
But do you know of any, in addition to doing that, how would you propose that we help our children to be more grateful and less complaining?
And less complaining? Yeah, exactly. Well, a couple of things. One is at meals, to have a thing where after you say grace, just have go around and everyone say one thing they're thankful for. So that's just a very easy one. Another thing someone mentioned to me is just that she keeps a piece of construction paper just on the back of their door. And at night when she's putting them to bed, she has each of them write something, because these were teeny little guys, something they're thankful for. So then the next night they go, oh, she reads them yesterday's and says, now today, what's... So I think these practices we're talking about, actually, what we're talking... It's going to be so much easier for them to do this stuff than for us. These are kid-like practices, right? You don't have to... You have to just become more kid-like to do them.
How do you explain gratitude to a toddler?
How do you Well, again, I'm not sure you need to explain it, right? I just always felt like they could explain it to me. Like, right? They're the ones wanting to look at the spots on the ladybug that are so beautiful while you're trying to drag them into the car. So I don't know. I don't mean to be flip about that. I'm just saying I think they get it. Normally. And if they don't, I think the point about modeling it. Like if we're living gratefully, I think it it all trickles down. Mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? I mean, it trickles down, whether we like it or not. The bad stuff trickles down, too.
So I liked how you talked about how you can reset at 7 p.m. at night.
Right.
Because that's somehow, I feel like around 5, 6, 7, I just, yeah. I don't know. When my husband gets home, I suddenly am no longer a gracious person. So how do you reset, I guess, when you're tired, but also when the dynamics change, too, you know? I don't know. I guess that particular point, I was wondering, like, how do you do that?
Right,
Other than switching.
Right. I don't know if you still call it this in your generation. We used to call it arsenic hour. That... Well, I think actually if you can pull away physically, like when the kids aren't needing you, if you can pull away physically, because the way I say it to myself is you're not really safe to be around right now, right? And so if you can pull away physically, maybe it's hop in the shower, maybe it's just get in a chair by yourself and really say, Lord, you please remind me of a few things to be grateful for. And let him change those wheels. And I think that most husbands, if they realize what's going on, would be very glad to give us that time. Because it redounds to their benefit. Does that answer your question? Not really.
Can I add to it real quick? Uh-huh. I was just thinking while you were saying that, I have a particular friend who's in this room right now who I call when I'm needing a reset button because she points me back to the Lord every single time.
So. Yes, exactly. And, okay, and this is my last comment, but this is an important comment. This does not mean that when you call a friend, you have to say, when you're dying inside, you have to say, hi, Susan, I want to tell you what I'm thankful for. I mean, you can say, hi, Susan, I hate life. Right? So we're not saying this isn't about being fake, it's about being real. But then we want friends like Victoria's friend who will say, yep, I heard all that and I'm letting all the chaff go and now I'm going to point you in the right direction, which is why you called me, right? Right. So, yeah. Okay. Thanks, you all.